It's the Baby Boomer News of the Week. I'm Susan Sikora.
And I'm Bob Bates. Should it be illegal to take a nap on a park bench? The federal government says no.
We'll look at whether elderly drivers should face road tests before each license renewal.
And former President Jimmy Carter seems perfectly at ease with his new cancer diagnosis.
We'll talk about that. Plus, we'll share our senior citizen gripe of the week coming up.
Jimmy Carter made an announcement this week to let us all know that he has cancer, a melanoma, which is something we think of as a skin cancer, but this cancer has moved to his brain. Mm-hmm. And when a cancer hits someone of his advanced age, 90, the reaction might logically be more accepting than when you're younger. He spoke at the Carter Center recently, did a news conference. I've got a clip here of what he had to say. Take a listen.
I've had a wonderful life. I've had thousands of friends, and I've had an exciting and adventurous and gratifying existence. So I was surprisingly at ease.
Isn't that interesting? I thought that he was so at ease with what's to come.
I don't find it surprising. I think most of us think, oh my God, if I got a diagnosis of cancer, I'd be freaked and I'd be scared. And part of who he is and the kinds of things he has done in office and mostly after being in the White House, done a lot of humanitarian things. I know he's pretty religious, and I think he's one of those people who's not only religious, but he walks the talk.
You know, he was asked at this press conference, if there was one thing he could do, have a redo on, what would it be? And he said he wished he had sent another helicopter into Tehran to rescue those hostages in 1979. Yes. Which, as you remember, the helicopters crashed and ended up leaving the hostages there for 444 days, actually, yeah. until his successor, Ronald Reagan, took over the White House. That must have been just extraordinarily painful.
I'll tell you what I find interesting about that whole thing you just mentioned, that he was honest enough and open enough to say, this is my regret. I don't know how often you hear people say, I made a mistake.
And they always feel like they have to say, no, I have no regrets. Mm-hmm. You're absolutely right. I hadn't thought about that. But for him to just step up and say, geez, I wish I had sent another helicopter in there to Tehran.
But yet it goes, it's very consistent with, I think, who he is at this time of his life. And Jimmy Carter has done quite a bit that has mattered.
Yes. And so he should be able to feel fairly happy that his life mattered, that he did the best he could with what he had.
Yeah. I mean, he's got the Carter Center. He's done a lot of things on the global stage where he could be helpful. He built houses for people who couldn't get homes other ways. He's lecturing. He's writing books. He's sharing what he knows at this point in life. Instead of sitting on a porch, he is sharing the wisdom he has at this point. And also part of that is able to say, I'm not afraid. I'm going to confront it. And he's also not afraid to say, I made some mistakes.
You know, hopefully, he's being optimistic. And I think you have to have that too. For any kind of cancer treatment, you have to go into it with some level of optimism.
Yeah, you have to have the optimism. And you also have to be realistic in the sense that if the side effects are things like making you tired, then if you don't honor that and you don't give that the space to happen, you're not going to do whatever it was you were doing well. And you may not give your treatment the edge it needs to do its best in your body.
And we wish him well, Jimmy Carter.
I wish him well, too. I don't count him out. He's not down yet.
Also this week, an interesting development. This one, the headline from Time Magazine put it this way. It's unconstitutional to ban the homeless from sleeping outside, the federal government says. Last week, the Department of Justice discussed a relatively obscure case in Boise, Idaho, where they have a local ordinance that allows police to arrest people who camp out in city parks or on the sidewalk. Homeless people cannot sleep in doorways or on park benches. This is really kind of a typical ordinance. This is something that is in many cities, including San Francisco, where you live.
Sure.
This federal ruling says that this is not constitutional. it is not okay to tell Americans they can't fall asleep in public. I have to say, kind of agree. What do you think?
Well, I mean,
Someday you're going to be an old lady and you're going to want to sit on a park bench. What would happen if you doze off on the park bench and you're arrested?
More than anything, this is, I don't want to see somebody sleeping there. Why? Are they really bothering you? Are you going to stand there all night and watch them sleep? Probably not. You're on your way somewhere.
Right.
You're passing them by. But when you pass somebody by and you see somebody asleep on a park bench or under a tree or wherever, whatever it is, it's not so much, oh, they're messing up the park. It's they're messing up our view. They're reminding us this still happens. They're making us afraid. You know what? We need to fix this somehow. I don't know what the answer is. I don't think anybody does. Maybe it's to throw some good solutions at this and fund them.
Well, these cities across America have these ordinances in place to give the police some basis for pushing the homeless folks out of the downtown area. They need to have a reason to say you can't be on this park bench. So that's why the ordinances exist. But it will be very interesting to see what organizations who support the homeless do with this, because the federal government has come to their aid, basically, and to say, hello, this is unconstitutional. Will we start seeing homeless people say to the police officer who's trying to move them along, no, I'm not leaving?
Yeah, see, well, you know, constitutional or not constitutional, where's our compassion as people? Where's our practical common sense? We criminalize ugly.
We criminalize ugly, exactly. I mean, the federal government has basically said that you cannot criminalize the kinds of activities that are arguably fundamental to human existence. You have to sleep. Sleeping isn't an option. You're going to fall asleep. You can't make that into a crime.
The other thing, of course, too, is using the facilities, going to the bathroom, relieving oneself. You can't stop that. You can't say, okay, I won't do it because it's against, what are you going to do, make a law? I mean, nobody wants to see somebody urinating in public. In fact, there was a big thing on this in San Francisco recently that there was an editorial, and I guess it was last week's paper, and it was, you know, that there's a smell now that they're talking about because there's so much, because of the water shortage and all this stuff is playing in, and no, I don't believe anybody should be urinating on the streets. On the other hand, where are they going to go?
You know, if you provide nice bathrooms down there on Market Street for the homeless and other public folks to go to the bathroom when they need to, which is what we should be doing from just a humanist standpoint, they will literally move there. People don't want to have soup kitchens and places where you feed the homeless in their neighborhoods because the homeless folks will move there en masse, and then you've got other problems. What we need to do is create these services, lots of them in small pockets everywhere. Mm-hmm. Instead of moving everybody down to Skid Row to feed them and to house them, we should have little pockets of places for homeless people to be all over our communities.
And maybe when you say pockets, maybe what you want to do is a little community building too. I mean, as people are, if they're down on their luck, what can they do? If they can give back, fine. If they are disabled, then that's another situation. Mm-hmm. Maybe they can do something within a community.
I think at least this federal ruling was a victory for those who are impoverished and have rights, just like we all have rights, whether we have a good job and we have a nice house or we don't. I mean, have some human rights that belong to us as Americans. And I think the federal government's pointing out to Boise, Idaho, and San Francisco and every other city, you got to have a little more respect for the people that you're kicking off the park bench. We have to come up with some solutions for the homeless situation. And really, this is something we need to accelerate for sure. Well,
affordable or free, decent housing. Give them a start.
Yeah. Okay, moving on. Another item from the Los Angeles Times. Actually, this was an op-ed, which I thought was kind of interesting and reminds us the problems that aging brings when it comes to driving. Now, when you get a little older, you're going to have some trouble probably driving, but you're not going to want somebody to take the keys away. Scott Martell is the reporter here and is asking the question, is it time create a law that would require us to do road testing for senior citizens. Frequent road testing as they get older to make sure they still deserve to have a driver's license. What do you think about that?
First of all, probably the short answer, the first answer I would want to say is, no, I hate it. And the second answer, is the true answer is, yes.
Yeah, we probably.
And of course, it's what's senior again? Because we've talked about before about senior being, you know, a 60-year-old and a 92-year-old are going to drive a lot differently, maybe.
Maybe
their health is
maybe. I think the argument is you can't decide just because a person's old that they can't drive. Is the first argument against this. Maybe the way to get around it is to just start testing everyone. When was the last time the DMV tested your driving, Susan?
Oh my gosh, you mean actually got into a
got into a car and you had to drive for the DMV examiner.
Let's not do the math. I don't remember.
Well, I was 16. I have never been tested by a DMV examiner since I got my driver's license in Plainfield, Indiana, back in 1970 or whatever it was.
If we're going to be honest here, I think the only time I ever did take a driver's test like that was probably, other than a written test, you know, I think when I was 17, yeah. I did that. So
I think that's ridiculous.
You're right, you don't do that.
I think we need to change this. We need to start testing us. Yes, well.
I suppose that people should be tested, especially over a certain age. The question is determining what age that is.
Why do we have to wait for a certain age? I mean, I realize the inconvenience and the cost of this is the problem. I don't want to be inconvenienced by every 4 years going down to the DMV and having some guy take my driver's license away. I need to go to work, okay? I can't not have a car. So the public outcry for this would be horrendous. It just couldn't happen. But the truth is, there are bad drivers of all ages that need to be taken off the road. We see these stories of elderly people who mistake the accelerator for the brake, or the brake for the accelerator, and they drive through a window, or they drive through a farmer's market, killing people accidentally. Mm-hmm. It's got to be stopped. It really does. I know we won't do it. We all want to keep our car keys. I don't want to lose my car keys as I get older, but gosh, you know, we got to be reasonable about this.
No, I think so, too. And by the way, we should just say also, you can be young and texting, or you could be a young parent, mother or father, driving a car and the kids are acting up and you get annoyed and your attention is diverted. So, I mean, getting distracted can happen to anyone. But when your reflexes are starting to slow down a little bit with age, as most of us are going to have a little bit of that, behind the wheel of a car is not the ideal place to be.
Yeah. I'm just saying, somebody's got to have some oversight on this.
On the other hand, you know, if you won the lottery tomorrow and somebody said part of what you won is you get a chauffeured limousine.
That's what I want.
Somebody to drive. I'd take that in a heartbeat.
I want one of those Google cars that drive themselves. That's what I want.
Yeah.
Those little cars. Oh, I want that so bad.
Oh, I don't know.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up with senior citizen gripe of the week. Now, you and I are senior citizens, right? Come on, you
big
own it, own it.
Big you're... pregnant pause.
We're seniors.
I like the term grown-ups. Okay,
grown-ups,
I'm a grown-up,
okay. We're
yes.
grown-ups, and grown-ups tend to gripe. We've always got something to complain about.
Well, I've griped all my life, so I don't know. I don't know if age has anything to do with it at this point, but go ahead.
Okay, so you've got a gripe and I've got a gripe. I'll tell you my gripe. This is a gripe that it's politically incorrect to complain about this. I will give you that right up front. And this is the law here we have in California that requires stores to charge 10 cents for a bag. Now, I don't mind the law, actually. I like the law. I think the recycling portion of this, encouraging people to recycle their bags or bring a bag from home to fill their that's good. That's really good. And in fact, it's working pretty well, I think, here in California.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm griping about is the way the clerks manage it. And that is, they don't say to you, are you going to need a bag today? I'm adding 10 cents. I don't even care about the 10 cents. I really don't care about the 10 cents. If I spend $200 on groceries, a huge cart load of groceries, and they have to charge you 40 cents for four bags, I don't see that that's a big concern of mine.
Mm-hmm.
But what they do is they if you don't remember to say to them, I'm going to need a bag, I would like to purchase a bag, please don't forget to give me a bag, they won't say anything until you've swiped your credit card, and then they...
You know what, Bob? The solution to this...
Bring bags.
That's right. And let me tell you.
But you can't. You don't always have bags with you. Like, here's where I got annoyed. I was actually in San Francisco, and I walked into a little neighborhood market to get a few items, and I had too many little. There's a melon and a couple of others, some snacks, and clearly I needed a bag. Clearly, I'm standing there with no bag in my hand. It's not like a big grocery store. I got distracted. I swiped my card. The guy didn't say anything until it was completely done. And then he said, I said, well, I'm going to need a bag. And he looked at me like, really? You're going to need a bag? Like, well, I'm going to roll these melons down the street? Well, yes, I can't walk around with this bunch of stuff. So he was like, well, I have to charge you 10 cents. It's like, fine. So...
You sound like a curmudgeon.
I was really cranky about it. I was just like, I'm fine with it. And then he thought I was too cheap to pay the 10 cents. He thought, well, the state government tells me I have to charge it. Fine. I don't care how much it costs for the bag. Clearly I need a bag. Remember the good old days when store clerks were there to help you and make your day pleasant, where they'd grocery store people would carry your groceries right out to the car.
Yeah, see, let me tell you something.
Gas station attendants would pump your gas for you and wash your window.
I got a lollipop at Harry Walker's Gulf Station in Red Bank, New Jersey. I used to go pick
nowadays,
up my store, and on Friday nights they were open until 9, and we'd go get the gas, and in some states you still can't.
They want you to come back. They cared about customer service. Now, if you've got 15 melons on a countertop, they don't care if you grab them up in your hands and try to balance them out of the store. That's fine. Go ahead. Whatever.
I've carried some weird things out of the store because I realized too late that, I really should have brought the bag and I
there
forgot.
I'm sorry. Orange juice and toilet paper. Walk out to the car with that.
I'll walk out with toilet paper if I have to. If I only go in and buy toilet paper and I forget the bag, I am too cheap.
What about those
personally? This is me alone. I am too cheap to say I want the bag for 10 cents.
Because really?
I get the idea.
You're the one that's too cheap to buy the bag.
No, wait a minute.
That's why they're all like that. Okay.
See, if I go to Trader Joe's and I forget a bag and I really need one, I'll buy a new bag because they're only 99. You can get a 99-cent bag. So for a buck, I've got a bag that's going to last.
You can use it forever.
Right.
But and don't you ever, like, you're driving around and you don't have a bag with you, like someplace you need to go?
I'll tell you why. You take the bag, you put it in the little, there's usually a little compartment or a little pocket on the door of your car. Do you have one?
Yes. Okay, so bottom line is you think my gripe is dumb, right? Is that it?
What's in the pocket of your car? I want to know. Tell everybody right now.
Well, it's going to be bags now, Susan.
Well, it should be. I don't know what's there, but whatever it is, if it's a squeegee for the windows or something, too bad.
Okay.
Move it over. And I have strange things in my little door pockets, too. But I always keep my Trader Joe's bags up in there.
I give up. I told you no one would agree with me on
if
my gripe
put it
of the
there,
week.
You'll see it on your way
okay.
out.
Okay. Tell me what your gripe of the week is. I'll try to agree with
my
it.
Gripe of the week. You know what? Alphabetizing. I think everything, I'm not kidding, if you've got a list to make, whether it's a wish list somewhere or whether it's the list of all your stuff or your bookmarks or your favorites or your this or that, all these doodahs should be able to be alphabetized.
Are you having a problem with that a lot? Does this come up?
Well, I have had situations where I've been trying to alphabetize certain things.
So you can find them easier. Because currently they are in order of when you made the bookmark on your computer screen.
So you just would like
everything kind of in life to be
give me
A to
the
Z.
Option of putting it in alphabetical order.
Okay, so your rule is let's alphabetize everything from now on.
Just give me the option to do it.
The option to do it. Okay, right. I hereby give you the option to alphabetize anything you want. And for now, it's time for us to say goodbye. Thanks for being with us, Susan. And we'll see you next week on olderandwiser.com, the Baby Boomer News of the Week. See you next time.